Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast, well, that fuses it all. It takes ancient spirituality and brings it for us today. Consumption for today. It's rock and roll with the best of all the ancient chants that you could muster up. Armadoxy has arrived, and it's arrived right into your computer, your headphones, your MP3 player, your CD player, wherever you may be on the technological spectrum, it's here for you. So get ready. Let's take a next step. I know. It's kind of weird, isn't it, huh? MP3 players are gone too, right? Well, like, I guess they got the iPads, but now it's all on phone-based, right? Okay, so people are listening to us on their phones. And, well, it is still an MP3 file at some point. But, yeah, before MP3 players, what was it? Like, people are listening on CDs. Now, Next Step doesn't go back to the time of cassettes. But we do go back pretty ancient, actually, to the time of Christ, where you just stand up and you talk. Now, this is just a recording, so we're recording that talk, and we're coming to you right now via this amazing technology, and wherever you may be on that technological scale, we're just glad you're with us right now. I've got a great show for you today. Some controversy coming up, too. Guess what? Went to Glendale, and in front of the commission, I was told I cannot use the word Jesus Christ. Two words. For me, it's one, isn't it? Huh? I'm going to share that with you, too. But before we do that, hey, we are out of the crisis. They raised the debt ceiling, and so now we can breathe a sigh of relief. Yeah, this is amazing. It's, you know what's amazing for me here? And I don't know, I know we have world listeners, but here in America, what they did for the last, 2-3 weeks, they just hyped it all like, okay, the world is going to crumble because the debt ceiling and this and that. And sure enough, yesterday Congress, you know, may increase the debt ceiling. I know there's repercussions that we will have to deal with. There are repercussions that our children will have to deal with. But you knew it was going to happen. You knew that they weren't going to just let the giant meltdown take place. And like most of us, we probably don't understand all the ramifications and nuances of it. But we do know that we have woken up to a beautiful day today, a beautiful sunrise that God has given us, and we have an opportunity to come together here on The Next Step and share some ideas with you. And I've got to be honest with you, those ideas are mixed up with a lot of life experiences this week. It has been a wild month, wild few weeks, of course, but this week probably takes it all. I think I wake up every beginning of the week and say, okay, we're going to get through it. It used to be I'd wake up every day and I'd say, okay, we're going to get through it. But then you kind of pack on stuff, right? Okay, then you say, okay, well, we'll make it. We'll catch up by the end of the week. And it's coming up to the point, well, we'll catch up by the end of the month. But what a wild week this has been. We started off with Gulla Danilova. Now, you've heard her here on The Next Step, but last Sunday we had an opportunity to hear her in a different setting. thing. We organized a beautiful reception and got our dear friend Mark Garagos, yes, of the attorney fame. He came and he emceed that event. And we raised some funds for landmine clearance, but it's always great to hear Gala speak and always great to hear the stories of not only the disasters there, but the great stories that we're happy to hear about the clearances, about the successes. And those are so, so important. So we started off the week with that. Then Monday we went over to the Commission on the Status of Women. Guess what? Glendale has a commission on the status of women. And Ani Tarosian, who is the chairman of our board for DATEV Outreach, DATEV Outreach, we founded a couple of years ago on the idea of let's reach out. DATEV in Armenian, of course, refers to a monastery. It refers to the place of a saint, Krikor Datevatsi. But the word actually is DATEV, to give wings. So we adopted this name a few years ago for our domestic violence program to give wings to women who were suffering this dreaded how should we say this tragedy that befalls upon society, befalls upon families, and give them the wings to really rise from that occasion and let them know that they're not alone. Let them know that they have the embrace of God via a group of incredible women that I've had the fortune of working with for the last couple of years. So Monday night, the Commission on the Status of Women in Glendale invited us to go over and speak to them about DATEV Outreach. Interesting, okay. Yeah, they invited us to come and speak. Tell them about DATEV Outreach. Now, DATEV Outreach, if you know or you haven't, you know, it's faith-based. It comes right out of our church. It functions within the church, okay? So now the commission's ready to start at 5:30 in Glendale, and it is broadcast on a local channel in Glendale. I believe it's a cable channel. And so it's important that right at 5:30 it begins. So we're in our places, and you see on the big screen, 5:30, there's like a little countdown, and we're on the air. And the chairman of the commission gets up and invites everybody, says, welcome. And then they take the roll call, and we're going to be like the first people on the agenda. DATEV Outreach. Ani Tarosian, who's the chairman of the board, she's up there, I'm up there. We're going to make a presentation. We have a PowerPoint that's been conveniently given to the board. This is important. It's been given to the board before before we went on. So in other words, they vetted it. They knew what was on there. They knew what was coming up. Mind you, there's nothing controversial. I'll put a link on our show notes today. You could take a look at it. What is it? Nothing. Nothing controversial. So 5:30 comes along. There's a countdown and the cameras come on and we're now being televised. So the chairman of the board welcomes everybody. And as she's doing that, the city attorney walks down and comes right to me. Yeah, by the way, many of the board members are Armenian, as is the city attorney. Young lady comes up to me. And as the meeting is now just now being opened, they're talking up on the dais, she comes right up to me and she says, Father, I don't know if anybody has briefed you about this evening. And I said, no, in all honesty, nobody had. We came in through the door, we sat down, and we're getting ready to talk. She goes, well, you're not allowed to name a deity. You cannot use the word Jesus Christ in your presentation. I just looked at her. I said, please leave me alone. I said, I've been a priest for 30 years. I know exactly what I'm doing. Well, we want to just caution you that you cannot. I said, please, you know, now get this, okay? You're a speaker. You're supposed to be speaking in like 1 minute. And they just come and they just like throw this out at you, okay? Fortunately, they didn't know who they were dealing with, okay? Very fortunately, anybody else would have been like flustered. I just sat there and I looked at her like with amazement, like, are you for real? Like, do you remember that this is the United States of America? Okay, what do you think I'm going to say up there? I mean, this is the United. You cannot. You can tell what you want for your company. You're the city attorney. You can tell your city people that this is what the charter of the city is, or who knows what. You cannot tell me, as Joe Citizen, coming to a commission meeting that you have invited me to, that I cannot talk about my faith, especially because you know that's not what it's about. You know that that's not what it's about. You've seen the slides. You know it's not about proselytizing. You know it's about domestic violence, and it takes place through the church. And if you think for a moment that I'm going to get up there and tell people that, hey, you guys are all going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then you've really got a skewed outlook of what the world is about. And I guess she did. So she's ragging on me for a few minutes, and I just said, please leave me alone. I know exactly what I'm doing. And she says, well, you can't go up there and say Jesus Christ. I said, and I just looked at her, and I said, you know what? If there was a Jewish person, if there was a Jewish rabbi, and they went up there and talked to you about Moses and Abraham within the context of their speech and referred to these prophets of the Abrahamic tradition, and trust me, I've seen enough of that to know that they exactly do that. I said, you would have no problem. And she looked at me and she says, oh no, they wouldn't be allowed to. And on that, they called my name, fortunately, before it got any worse. And I just went up to the podium along with Ani, and we started our presentation. Now, I was a little flustered because, you know, they get your blood going, but you know what? You know what? They had never heard a presentation like this, okay? Let me tell you honestly, they never heard anything like this. It was wild. I'll put a link on today's show notes. I want you to watch it. It's a 15-minute little presentation we did about DOTEV outreach. So we talked about the domestic violence program, and then we're ready to leave. And by the way, a few times that I did mention about the connection with the church, I made sure that the city attorney was well aware of, and I'm talking about this incredible organization called the Church, the Body of Christ, that was doing exactly that, healing and giving opportunities for women to have wings, giving those women the potential actualized Christ in our midst. I made sure she knew exactly what we were talking about. So we were applauded. We finished. We came down. They gave us these small little tokens of their appreciation, which were little pins for the month of October, domestic violence. Now, you know, this is all political stuff anyway. But, you know, we went through the motions. It was kind of one of those rites of passage. If we want to function in Glendale, we had to do this. So we're on our way out. And we go out of the chamber, and the city attorney comes after me. She goes, Father, oh, I'm sorry, there must have been a misunderstanding. I said, okay. I guess she's going to apologize, but I don't think so. I think what she was trying to do is justify herself. Obviously, she was trying to do that, because people don't apologize. They just try to justify themselves. And so she just turns to me and she says, you know, there must have been a misunderstanding. You misunderstood what I was saying. I said, you know what? You said what you had to say. I said what I had to say, and it's over. Well, no, I want you to understand. I said, there's nothing to understand. Come on. You know, I've been a priest 30 years. I've been to enough of these council meetings. I know what politics is. I know what the church is. I know what I'm capable of, and that's why I stay clear of you politicians. And she says, well, you know, this is in America. We can't. I say, you know what? Don't tell me about America. Look, I don't want to lose respect for you as a human being. Please keep your distance. I really told her this. I said, please, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And there was three of us from DOTEV Outreach. We were leaving. We're going down the stairs. And she's saying, well, you look upset. Yeah, I am upset. This is America. This is America. I mean, you don't need people telling you what you can do in America. I know Constitution. And what you're talking about is even more primary than that. It's Constitution 101, separation of church and state. You as the state, get it clear, you as the state cannot tell me, the church, what I can believe in and what I can say. It's clean. It's simple. I came and gave a presentation on domestic violence, which excluded any reference, any reference to religion save for the fact that it was created within the church. And I talked about the sanctity of the actual sanctuary building. Because I grew up in the Vietnam era. You know, when there was kids that were dodging the draft, where would they go? They'd go to the church because it was sanctuary. There was a sanctuary movement. And now women who are being abused by their husbands in their partnerships, who come to the church, they seek that same sanctuary. And believe me, to me, that is sacred. That is the body of Christ. You cannot go in there as a politician and tell the body what it's going to do. The body has the wings to embrace. The body has the arms to embrace. It was really way beyond what I would imagine would happen. But you know what? In these small cities, and I've worked in Glendale for the last 10 years, beginning with their city council, with their mayors, it's all small thinking like that. It's trying to interpret constitution for their benefit. Listen, this is the bottom line. This United States of America, the greatest country on earth, I love it. I love it. I love it because of the freedom that we have to enjoy. And yes, there are many problems. It is a double-edged sword, freedom. But when it comes to religion, you are free to believe. And there's a lot of wackos out there. And when you talk about the Armenian Church, the Orthodox Church, you're talking about a 2,000-year tradition which has brought the people to today. So when they tell me, do not talk about Christ, they've overstepped their boundaries. They've gone beyond their boundaries. The state cannot tell you what you can believe or what you can say. Again, she's the city attorney. She has every right within the city to tell the politicians behind the dais. She's able to tell anybody she wants about what they can say and what they can't. She cannot tell a member of the public what you want to believe. And I know it's fashionable today to rag on Christians. And I guarantee you, I've been at enough of these events where I've seen that the Jewish rabbi will get up and invoke the name of Abraham or Moses and talk about one of the prophets in divine terms. Yes, they will talk about these stories and everything. I've been to enough of these events to see Muslims get up and talk what they want to. But when it comes to Christians, they dare you to say the name of Christ. And let me tell you something really plain and simple. Jesus Christ is the incarnation of love. And once you have that love inside of you, you have no other alternative but to share that love. And you share it through your words, you share it through your actions. And this is not proselytizing. This is about sharing that essence that is common in all human beings. And that's what Christ is about. It's not denominationalism. It's a truth of humanity. That you have that love inside of you. Share that love. And nobody, no government in the world, and especially here in the United States of America, no government in the world, no government official here in the United States can tell you to suppress that love.
For the nine reasons, all in a line, all of them good ones, all of them line. Drifting with my lady, we're oldest of friends. Need a little work and there's fences to mend. Let them go, how was I to know? in the spring. Her and the drifter looking for beautiful things. Singing song and a carrying size. Come on, mostly say hooray for our side. And we've got to stop and chill. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. All right, what's going down? Oh, yes. Well, it looks to me like there's a few politicians hanging around. Children perpetrating some kind of myth on us all. All right, talking about what a drag all the kids are, yeah. Oh, cause they got the guts to get out in the street and tell the truth every day. Oh, yes. All right, making it a little hot for them, you know. All right. Oh, but you know that we're all just out there proving to Richard Nixon and to Spiral Agnew and Richard Daley and all them other, well, whatever you want to call them, that America is still the home of the brave. Oh, yes it is, and you got to be brave, children. How many is it that they shot down already? Some like 17 of us. Oh, but you know we gotta do it. We gotta keep on keeping on. Oh, cause if we don't do it, nobody else is gonna. But you know if we can't do it with a smile on our face, you know if we can't do it with love in our hearts, then children, we ain't got no right to do it at all, yeah. Cause that just means we ain't learned nothing yet. Oh, and we're supposed to be some kind of different. Oh, 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 yes. And I don't know whether I want white America to remember or forget that Jesus Christ was the first nonviolent revolutionary. Dig it. Dig it. All right on. And dig it. Oh, yes. You know that paranoia, it strikes deep into your life. It's going to creep. And it starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line and they're coming, gonna shoot you down. We got to stop. And now what's that sound? Yeah, we got to stop. Now what's that sound? Yes, we got to stop. What's that sound? Look what's going down.
Wow. I love that, huh? How is that? That is Stephen Stills singing Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young off of their Four Way Street album. It's a live recording of a song that really means a lot to me, has meant a lot to me through the years. It's a compilation of a few songs, 49 bye-byes for What It's Worth and America's Children. It says a lot, you know, it says a lot about, well, about what it means. I love that phrase that he says in there, America is still the home of the brave. You know, sometimes we think that it's only through guns and weapons that we could articulate ourselves. It's through the might. And those of us who went through the 60s, through the 70s, and sure, we were young, but we were also impressionable. And it was a really turbulent time of life when I think about what we were going through. the Kennedy assassinations, both the president and his brother, who was a presidential candidate, the King's assassination, Vietnam War. You had a president who actually he got up and he said, "I cannot seek a re-election." The Nixon, Watergate. Woodstock, I mean, the summer of love and what was going on in this world, the sexual revolution as well as the Jesus revolution. That was right around there. It was right after 1970, 71. You know, I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, and we grew up in that. And they were turbulent, but they were also years with answers. There was a lot of answers. And yes, some of it was in pop culture. Some of it was an amalgam of taking the pop with the ancient, and in a very real sense, to me, when I start talking about Armadoxy, it's exactly this mixture. Can we get rid of the box, or can we expand the box to include some of this? The Armenian Orthodoxy today, and we'll be talking about this in a few minutes too, is existing inside of a box that is basically has served its purpose. And the time has come for us now to start defining, at least articulating, what is that faith outside of the box, or with outside of the traditional parameters. And certainly we're doing that here on Next Step in Epostle, Armadoxy. I mean, when you looked at the broad range of things, even In His Shoes is basically Armadoxy applied. When you look at Epostle, what is Epostle? It's apostolic evangelism. It's going back to the early times and applying it using certain methods that we have. So in a very real sense, we are in the middle of a revolution that began with Jesus Christ and has continued through the centuries and has arrived today. The revolution maybe have been fueled, there was some extra fuel thrown into the fire, but we are who we are because of the different experiences that we've lived through, and certainly the next generations will include new generations, generational experiences. So Armadoxy becomes an evolving religion, and I think there's a beauty to that. It's no different than what you go through in your life, too. You come to certain points in your life, and you realize that you are there because of the experiences that you've gone through. Now, that's part of evolution, right? Whether it's your environment or whether your history. I mean, obviously, you've gone through certain things, and if you're sitting there at, you know, at age 40 or at age 30, whatever age you may be, and thinking the way you were at age 10, then it means you haven't evolved. And I think there's something to be said about this, that evolving is not a bad thing. It's a necessary step. And it doesn't mean you need to throw out the baby with the bathwater. It doesn't mean that as you were, you need to forget about what it was like to be a child, because that childhood innocence is beautiful. So we think that, okay, now that I'm an adult, I've corrupted myself. No, it means you've evolved. And certainly if you look at yourself in comparison, let's take two different arbitrary numbers. Okay, so you're 50 years old. You're comparing just your thought process to how it was when you were 20. And you certainly say you've evolved. And then you feel bad, like, oh, wow, where was that childhood innocence? But the idea that you're able to contrast it with that you're actually thinking about that childhood innocence, brings that innocence into your life right there. This is very important to understand, okay, that you're looking at life through your lenses that have been processed, that have been polished through the years. Okay, so you're not looking, you're not standing at age 50, at age 40, at age 50, 60, whatever you may be. You're not standing there and saying, oh, look at the people who are 20 years old. They're stupid. They don't get it. I get it. No, you're not doing that. What you're saying is that I understand where I was at age 20. And God bless those people that are at age 20, because they're going to go through that process too. But I've arrived at age 50, and I'm looking at all this, and I'm realizing that I have evolved. I'm a different person. And yes, there have been a lot of things along the way. There have been some slaps in the face. There have been some successes. There have been some beautiful things along the road. But I have evolved. I'm not that 20-year-old kid anymore, and that's not a bad thing. And I don't feel bad for anybody. I'm not making a judgment call. I'm just saying, for my own personal sake, I've evolved. Now, that's on a personal level. Can we bring that over to a church level? Here we are in 2013. We have evolved. And you look at the church life from the time of Christ and the evolution that's gone, that we've gone through as a Christian community, as an entire Christian world, to a point where we are now in a globalized society where we have all kinds of things, whereas, say, in the early Middle East or in early Christian centuries, you didn't know, well, it wasn't that, you knew about other religions, but it wasn't that well spread as it is today. So today, we have the addition or the advent of these technological means that bring all kinds of religions. So you can sit there in a room in Dallas, Texas, communicating to somebody who is in India and sharing two different traditions on an open forum, and have somebody come in from Mexico and bringing in some other tradition, and somebody watching this whole thing, let's say from the African continent, can get a picture of, okay, there's some good and bad in each of these. Let me put them together. And so all of a sudden you start evolving, you start creating. Your mind starts going different places. And this is not a bad thing. It's just something that we need to adapt to, because that is the reality of today. That the vast majority of people are not comfortable saying that I am a Christian, because Christianity invokes certain ideas into their head. They're not comfortable saying that they are in a Buddhist tradition. They're not comfortable to say that, okay, Judaism is fine, but you know what? I don't want to say this. I don't want to say it like this because it has such a negative connotation, but it is the right metaphor. It's the cafeteria concept, taking bits and pieces of this and that and putting together a nice meal. And it is negative. It is a negative thing because it plays with your sense of, well, what is purity? What is pure? What is real? But in the other sense, it's giving you an opportunity. Today we have this opportunity to really weigh out different ideas, share different ideas, and realize that, you know, in this world today, if we are really to seek the things that are important in life, peace and harmony, it has to do with our understanding one another and not placing one set of values higher than the other. It's just a normal, natural progression. And so when the hardline religious types say, well, you're playing with fire because you're basically touching the elements. You're saying that there's no longer absolutes. And, you know, we talk about absolutes. This is the way, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's an absolute for many people. And armodoxy is really the clear answer to that, because it translates. It gives us the primer that is found by Saint Nerses Shnorhali. The name of love is Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because love is the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. It's not more complicated than that. Now, I say all this because that complicated idea just came up this past weekend. Last weekend was the Feast of the Holy Translators. And it's unique in the Armenian Church. A lot of times people look at this and they'll look at it and they'll say that, okay, you know, the translators are the ones who created the Armenian alphabet. No, it's way beyond that, way beyond religion. Actually, Mesrop Mashtots, the creator of the Armenian alphabet, is one of the translators, but so is Nerses Shnorhali, so is Naregatsi, so is David, the Invincible. People from different centuries. They span about seven centuries. So obviously, it's not about the people, but about the feast is about the translators. The translators were people that took something complicated and simplified it. Very easy. Okay, they took the complicated and they made it simple. The Armenian Church had been established in 301 as a state church. Apostolic roots from the time of Christ, but in 301 it had been established. But in the churches they were using the Greek and the Hebrew texts. So it meant that there had to always be a translator. So Mesrop Mashtots was commissioned to create an alphabet so that the Armenian people could have a translation of the scriptures. That was the whole reason why the alphabet was created, to have the scriptures translated. The following culture that came for the Armenian people out of that creation was a byproduct of their want of the faith, their want of Christianity. And so Mesrob, what he did is he simplified. He took the complicated, the Hebrew and the Aramaic and the Greek texts, and he simplified it for the people using a language that they could understand. Same thing with whether it was Naregatsi or the Shnorali. These saints, the power of these saints, the reason why they're called translators is that they took something complicated and made it very simple. Simple, so you could understand. And I always liken this to the, well, I've watched Mad Men now for about a year and a half, 2 years. I've actually caught up with it using Netflix. And it is an interesting series about, well, Mad Men. They're not mad. They're Madison Avenue men. They're about advertising and a lot of other stuff. But in advertising, way before Mad Men, I haven't heard it on Mad Men, but there's this expression, KISS, which I love. Yes, the kiss is nice too, but kiss, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. And I love it because it's really the translator. It's making it very real, taking the complicated and simplifying it. And when you look at Protestantism, you have the name Jesus. Look, think about the Protestant mission statement. Jesus saves. That's it. Jesus saves. That's it. Now, you go into some of the traditional churches, the Orthodox included, the Roman Catholic included, but the Roman Catholic is pretty much more simplified. But in the Orthodox tradition, there is not only salvific points in their mission statement, there's national points of not only preservation, but of continuity. Of keeping the traditions alive. Even the names. You look at the leader of Christianity, his name was Jesus. Within the Orthodox tradition, you have his holiness, you have his beatitude, his eminence, his grace, the Reverend Father, and all kinds of complications that really need to be simplified down to a common basic parameter, which we can understand. And that's what Armodoxy is. Armodoxy is saying that, okay, it's pretty much complicated, but if we were to sift through and found out what's important, and that is not a subjective analysis. What is important is basic. It's universal because it comes down to love. It comes down to respect. It comes down to understanding. It comes down to the quest for peace. See, those are universal constants. Once you get into that, then you can start sifting it out and say, okay, this is it. This is what Armodoxy is. And you need a box to contain this in, and you certainly have the church, and there is a structure out there, and there is a hierarchy that you have to deal with. Okay, can we focus in on Armodoxy, the meat of it, and let the hierarchy do its thing? Now, last few weeks, I've been sharing with you about the synod that took place in Etchmiadzin with all the Armenian church leadership. And I promise this will be the last part of it, but this was telling this week. We had a clergy meeting, and our primate had returned from Armenia, and he was going to brief us. And one of the things that he said, as well as another bishop that was there, a very high-ranking Armenian clergyman, they both said that what was beautiful about it is that there was an opportunity for people, high-ranking clergymen, that usually are out on their own, for them to get together, for them to pray together, and really be on one page together. And that prayer life was evident in what they were saying, in what these two clergymen were telling us about the conference. And so God uses people. God uses different circumstances to get his work done. We can be impatient, and I was. I shared that with you last week. We got a little bit impatient thinking that, you know, the world was going to change because of this this clergy conference. But our impatience is our humanity showing through. Patience is really from the divine author, who's for whom, you know, the 100 years may be a few seconds. Now, okay, yeah, I'm human. I mean, so are you. Everyone is human. Why? Because we don't have that luxury of 100 years. We don't have the luxury of, you know, of a millennium, and saying that, okay, we're headed over there. And that's why all we can do is really be who we are. Let God handle the rest. So leave that structure, leave that box for God's divine guidance, the power of the Holy Spirit. The last few weeks I've shared with you a very orthodoxy approach to how you can look at that puzzle, at the box. And you know what? It comes down to really Reinhold Niebuhr's prayer, doesn't it? Right? God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. The courage to change those things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are certain things that we can't change in our lives, in our personal lives, in our relationships. Some things that are very deep, that go back to our parents, that go back to their parents, how they were raised, the love that they saw, and that absence of love or that multiplicity of love has now affected us. Same way with the church, right? Things you can't change. What happened after the genocide? A church left in shambles. Things you can't change. Communism. 70 years of atheism. You can't change that. So grant me the wisdom to know the difference between what I can change and what I can't change. And my life, I look at it, and I look at the life of the church, and a very healthy and, let's say, mature look is to be able to say, okay, those are the targeted areas that we need to address. Those targeted areas have to be our participation. You're not changing other people. How do I love? How do I create that environment where the Church of God, where the body of Christ exists? And that's the biggest challenge we have today as Christians. That's what we're called to do.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. Important reminder, and a reminder for all of us that, you know, this ministry that we have, Epostle, is such an important one, especially today. A couple days ago, I was at a clergy meeting, and this was at a parish I hadn't been to in a long time. And some lady came up to me and said, you know, we saw you on TV the other day. We saw one of your videos. And she said, it was incredible. You were speaking to my kids. And I said, well, good. I'm glad you felt that. You know, I mean, it's a very flattering thing. But she says, no, but what was really remarkable was that the kids knew right away who you were, and they went inside and they pulled up your website and they showed me all of your videos. And how long have you been doing this? Yeah, and so we got into a conversation. Yeah, it's really like a little secret, isn't it? Epostle.net. But it's happening. People are discovering it, and people are saying, hey, that's cool. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic day and age. Yeah, I wish those numbers would be bigger. I wish that there would be people that would be watching and absorbing. But I'm always encouraged by the different groups of people that come to me, different types of people that come to me. And I'm also encouraged by the variety of ways that people access us. So I'm never discouraged by low numbers here and there. You know, I mean, when you think about the next step, yeah, you can pick it up on the website. You can download it from iTunes. You could set up your iPhone so it comes in automatically, RSS feed, right? You can listen to it on Blueberry, on Stitcher Radio. You can get a CD. I mean, there are so many ways of accessing it. So we really don't have a counter on how many people. But all of a sudden, I'll get somebody who comes up and says, hey, we saw that, or we heard that. And what about the app? I got to tell you, that app is fantastic. I just got a new Android device and downloaded the app. So I hadn't really used the app in a while. And it was interesting. It really works well. I just sat there and I go, wow, look at all this stuff. Look at all this material that we put out. Well, all that material that we've got out there on the web is thanks to you, thanks to your prayers, and thanks to your donations. So I want to just throw this out to you that, you know, it goes a long way. I really appreciate everything that you do. We're in it as partners. We're moving forward. So please be generous in your giving. As Susie said, there's so many ways of contributing. One of the biggest ways that you can contribute is passing along the link, putting it up on your Facebook page. You know, just like let it exist a few places. Tell people, hey, you've gotten turned on to this and you want to share it. And you know what? It goes a long way. We are at the end of today's show. There was some other stuff that I was going to get to, but I'm going to leave it for next week because tonight, and we're right in the middle of Domestic Violence Awareness Week, and tonight we're going to be going to the YWCA, where I'm going to be offering a prayer at a vigil for victims of domestic violence. Yes, we are here in Southern California, very, very big Armenian population. And in that population, like any population, any demographics, there is, of course, the percentage of problems, challenges, issues. And domestic violence is probably one of the biggest issues that we're facing right now. And so we've faced it head on. And we're doing it through the DOTEV Outreach to give wings. So DOTEV Outreach has come of age. We're being heard here and there. And I said a few minutes ago that we'll put a link on today's show notes so you can see the small little presentation we did. It's good to just get an idea of what's going on over here and how we're addressing this situation. And then at the same time, I want to just invite you, if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, if you happen to be able to make it to the Los Angeles area next Thursday, which is the 24th of October, Thursday. We're going to be having a walk against domestic violence. It's a 6.5-mile walk, takes about 2.5 hours. It is from the St. Peter Armenian Church in Glendale to the St. Leon Cathedral in Burbank. And we get escorted by the police, and we walk down the street and let people know that domestic violence is being hit head on with the power that we have. In fact, our motto is very simple. It says, violence hurts, love conquers. And it's with that love, the love of Christ, in our hearts, that we put an end to the violence in the families. I need your prayers for that one, okay? And I need you to follow along. You can follow everything that we're doing on our websites, on inissues.org, at epostle.net, where all this broadcasting is there. Of course, follow us along on Facebook at St. Peter Armenian Church in Glendale, as well as Epostle, as well as In His Shoes, as well as DOTEV Outreach, as well as us personally. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, via our webman, this is Father Voskan inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.